Blog Talk Radio.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Coming now, buddy. We on our hearts all day long. Let's just kick this ball all day long.
Pick it up. Don't stop. Pick it up. Let's go.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial.
There he is! Whoa! Good job! Good job!
That's what I make a play out there, buddy. Nice job.
Over Pirate 2, ready.
45, blast!
Yeah, 23!
45, blast!
Keep on playing at this level now, huh? Keep it up, baby. Keep it up.
We're going to be here all day, baby. Hang in there, little buddy. They're coming in.
This fun or what?
Fast 60 minutes of sports. Live now. Roll one. Check two. Here we go, y'all. 60 minutes with your host, Benny Moore.
Benny Moore.
Fastest. 60 minutes in sports. NFL, MLB, NBA.
He likes to talk about them?
Not. All right now. Fast in the sports. On your waves right now. Get it in. 619-639-4747. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes in sports with your host, Benny Moore.
Good morning. Welcome back to 60 Minutes of Sports on your radio or on your internet, depending on how you're doing this. For those of you that have podcasted it and thrown it up and done what you've done, I ain't mad at you. You got to do what you got to do. I understand. I appreciate the love. Appreciate using all the information and all the tools that we've got here at the fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. I am your host, Vinny Moore. It is week 5 in the National Football League, but more importantly, it is playoff time in Major League Baseball. For those of you baseball heads following all this, if you're a Cardinal fan, you got to be ecstatic. Did you see what Chris Carpenter did to the Phillies lineup? We're going to talk about that as well. All this and a whole lot more on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. Back in two.
The sights of summer. Don't blink. They go fast. Summer's best event from Cadillac. This summer, you do have a choice. And the time is now.
So, still deciding between Verizon DSL and Comcast high-speed internet? Well, you should get the whole story.
Yeah, hi, I'd like to know, how fast is Verizon DSL?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On where you live.
On where I live? All right, well, do I pay less if I get a slower connection?
No.
You're kidding me.
Right. Now, let's hear that conversation with Comcast.
Hello, Comcast.
Yeah, hi. I'm curious. How much faster are you than Verizon DSL?
Oh, there's really no comparison, sir. With our 3-meg service, we're up to 3 times faster than Verizon 768K DSL. You see, we're a 100% pure broadband network.
So you guys really are the best.
Absolutely. We're the number one high-speed internet provider in America.
Wow, I almost made the wrong call. But I'm going with Comcast.
If you're looking for the best internet experience, make the right call. Comcast high-speed internet. Nothing else comes close.
Download speed compared to 768K DSL. Upstream limited to 256K. Many factors affect speed, and actual speeds may vary. Call Comcast for pricing and service detail.
Welcome back to the fastest... Yeah, what happened there? The fastest 60 minutes of sports. Are you following Major League Baseball in this postseason? Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. If you're not, you're missing some wonderful, wonderful stories. Again, if you're over the guys over at ESPN and you're doing Outside the Lines, you've got to love this. Chris Carpenter pitches a 3-hit shutout against the dominant Philadelphia Phillies, what is arguably the best team in the National League all year long, takes them completely out of their game, takes them completely out of their offense, and ultimately takes them completely out of the playoffs. Cardinals move on. They'll get the Brewers in Game 1 today. For those of you watching last night, you saw Texas take Game 1. Of the league series against Detroit. But do not, by any stretch of the imagination, count the Tigers out of that one. By any stretch of the imagination, it's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, I guess if you want great baseball, you know, and some of the tidbits you heard, even in moving forward, about the amount of payroll these guys have compared to some of the big market teams, and yet here they are. None of these guys compared to the payrolls of obviously your Yankees, the Phillies, your big market teams, the Cubs, the White Sox, these $100 million payrolls. Here you have the Texas Rangers, which somewhere in the 11th through 15th in terms of payroll, the Tigers somewhere between 11th and 15th, the St. Louis Cardinals somewhere around 16th, 17th in ranking in terms of payroll, the Milwaukee Brewers. Seriously, you're talking about mid-sized market squads in St. Louis, Milwaukee, Texas, and Detroit that right now are the four teams in Major League Baseball going to determine a champion this year. Now, you know me, I love to prognosticate, but I look at all these teams, and it's really hard to determine which one is clearly, definitively better. They all line up. They could all beat each other on any given day. This is going to come down to who's got the deliverable. You know, Detroit has proven that pitching is the key, but that didn't save Verlander last night. You know, it's going to take the best St. Louis can throw out there against a young Milwaukee pitching staff that, you know, again, once they get up on you, it's really, really hard. Their back end is pretty strong. It's really, really hard to get over the hump against the Brewers. The Cardinals are going to have to jump on Milwaukee early and get them down. You're going to see games. You're going to see offensive games in the National League. You're going to see defensive games in the American League. Pitching, pitching, pitching. Hitting can get you to the playoffs, but it's going to take pitching to win it all. And right now, it clearly looks like Detroit has the leg up in the pitching end of it. Again, just looking at roster, of course, again, didn't have help them last night, but take a look across the board. You know, is it going to be Chris Carpenter if it comes down to a game seven in St. Louis and Milwaukee? That game, of course, if it gets that far, would go to Milwaukee. But don't be surprised in the National League if you don't see a split in Milwaukee and St. Louis start to take over that series, only because Milwaukee just does not play well away from home, which they even proved in the last series against the Arizona Diamondbacks when they went to Arizona up 2-0, losing two and then being forced to a game five, having to come back to Milwaukee before closing out. Even then, had to close it out in extra innings. Fun. So there's quite a bit of baseball love for you guys. Let's see. Kissing the Phillies goodbye. What's that going to mean for them next year? I don't think you're probably not going to see a whole lot of major overhaul. I mean, Philadelphia, they pulled a New York Yankee stunt this year. They tried to go out and buy a ton of pitching, and the reality is it just didn't work out for them. It should have. It really should have. They had the staff. They had things the way they wanted it. There's really no reason it shouldn't have worked out, but the reality is you got taken out by a very, very gay, very, very a hustle-driven Tony La Russa-led St. Louis Cardinals squad. Such is the business of the game. You got to play it. If it were played on paper, this probably would have been easy. You'd be looking at a Philadelphia Phillies, New York Yankees World Series, but that's not how it goes, any stretch of the imagination. So it is what it is. Wanted to take a look back at last night's game, the Rangers and the Tigers. John, we can't seem to find that for whatever the reason. I'm not sure what that's all about. Well, let's look forward. Detroit's going to throw Scherzer against Holland in game two. That's actually tonight. Yeah, I think it is. And then Cardinals Brewers earlier on today. 4:05 Eastern Time, 3:00. That's Garcia versus Greinke. You got to love Zach in that one. Again, this game is in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee has the best home field advantage going right now. So, ooh wee. Again, you got to love it if you're a baseball fan. Yeah, you got to love this. So I know a lot of the guys prognosticated that game last night, a 3-2 winner. This is the way that series in the American League is going to go. It's going to be low scoring throughout. Yet Texas scored two in the bottom of the second, then added a third and a fourth up 3-0. The Tigers kind of scrapped back, getting two back in the top of the fifth, and that was it. Again, Ogando, I won't say he outpitched Verlander, but certainly you get a lead in a game of that magnitude, and people start to tighten up. They start to grip that bat a little bit tighter, and before you know it, hits are harder to come by. The grand total of 13 hits in the whole game, 7 by the Tigers, 6 by the Rangers. with the one error. And again, not getting a chance to see a whole lot of that game, but certainly following what happened in the game. And the reality is it's going to come down. It's going to be tied all the way through. So the Tigers, yeah, certainly it's only one game in a seven-game series, and there's a lot of baseball left to be played. So look for the Tigers to make some noise. And again, that pitching rotation of the Tigers is really, really strong. So we'll see exactly how that all plays itself out. 10-12 for your morning on the Fast 60-Minute Sports. I'm your host, Vinny Moore. Let's move now to the National Hockey League, which just got rocking and rolling this past weekend. And well, I'll tell you what. Let's run down some of the fun things that are relevant to those of us in the Midwest. Of course, we love our Chicago Blackhawks here. After losing the game one in Dallas 2-1, they come back to the United Center and take care of Dallas 5-2. And again, something about home ice right now, getting out of the gate. Anaheim a 2-1 winner over the Rangers. Buffalo a 4-2 winner over the Kings. The Bruins get in the win column 4-1 over Tampa Bay. Toronto takes care of Ottawa 6-5. The Flyers take care of the Devils 3-0. The Capitals 4-3 over Carolina. Florida 2-0 shutout winner. Nashville a 4-2 win over the Blues. Minnesota a 4-2 winner over Columbus. Detroit a 3-0 shutout over Colorado. Pittsburgh a 5-3 winner over Calgary. It's always fun to see Calgary, the Calgary Flames. And San Jose a 6-3 winner over the Phoenix Coyotes. Let's see. News from the National Hockey League. Forsberg retires. Actually, the Avs retired. Forsberg's number 21. That's a nice little tribute to him. Again, you get your Bruins getting their first win, you know, trying to get their hopes of an attempted repeat. Now, I'll tell you, as the Blackhawks found out last year, repeating in the NHL, much like repeating in any other sport, is incredibly difficult. Unless, again, you're the New York Yankees and you're going out there and you've got a fat page, you know, fat check, and you're going to buy yourself a couple of championships. It's really, really difficult to repeat in the National Hockey League, but Boston's finally in the win column, so we'll see how that plays out. But for those of us here in the Midwest, or better known as Middle Earth, as we call it, we're Blackhawk heads here, and we're nice to see that our Blackhawks are now 1-1, 80 games left to run in this wonderful season, and we'll see how that all plays itself out. But we feel pretty good, obviously, about the National Hockey League and the Chicago Blackhawks, at least this morning. All right, let's see. Yes. Yes. Is it time to go to football yet? No. All right. Well, tell you what. I'm going to take a little levity here and take a little, authority here and give a little love to my friends out there on the West Coast. As many of you know, we got the word that Al Davis had died yesterday. The longtime owner of the Raiders. One of the founders of the AFL, one of the bigwigs, one-time commissioner of the AFL, and yeah, again, just an icon in his own right. Now, you may not have agreed with a lot of what Al Davis did in the last 10 years of his ownership of the Raiders with some of the decisions roster-wise, personnel-wise, but you got to look at the total body of work for Al Davis to understand exactly what he means to the National Football League, to the Raiders mystique. You know, the poems by John Facenda and Sam Spence, you know, the autumn wind is a raider, you know, all that stuff, that whole black and silver mystique, all, you know, driven by a guy like Al Davis, you know, the black and silver coming into the craziness that was Oakland Alameda Coliseum and seeing the crazies, the outfits, and you know, the whole persona of just win, baby, just win. That was all that you heard about, just win. And the reality was, it didn't matter if you went ugly. I mean, they did a whole thing about winning ugly. And you know what? They did that year. They got a Marcus Allen, and all of a sudden, you know what? They were winning. And they weren't winning necessarily pretty, but they were winning. And that's really all that mattered. You know, guys like Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube have come out and talked about their experiences with Al Davis. Couple of notes on Al Davis. Today in the National Football League, there'll be an honorary moment of silence. Certainly, it should be an emotional scene down there in Houston where the Raiders are playing the Texans. You know, there's a string of emotional tweets from Raider players and others reacting to the loss of Al. Let's see. The Raiders made a personal move on the day Davis died. Linebacker Ricky Brown was put on the injured reserve with a concussion. Fullback Manasseh Tonga was promoted from the practice squad. That's all football-related. Let's get into some of the emotional retorts. Patriots owner Robert Kraft, whose team was the last to play Davis Steam issued the statement Saturday night. I was deeply saddened to learn of Al Davis's death this morning. Al was an American Football League pioneer and a legendary Hall of Fame contributor to the National Football League. He was one of the first owners to welcome me into the NFL in 1994, which was a great thrill for me personally and an introduction that I will never forget. I also admired his passion for the game and enjoyed listening to his historical account of some of the game's most memorable events. He had a unique style and a certain aura about him that would be hard to ever replicate. When engaged in any discussion, he always spoke with great conviction and could be very, very persuasive. We shared a bond as two Massachusetts natives in the NFL, something that he pointed out to me in that initial introduction. I feel fortunate to have spent time with him just last Sunday before our game against the Raiders, not knowing when I would see him again. I told him how much I appreciated all he had done for the game of football and thanked him for all that he had done for me. He informed me of the Raiders' plans to honor my sweetheart with a moment of silence before our game, which was touching and heartfelt gesture on his part. Little did I know that just 1 week later, he would be doing the same, you know, going through the same thing in his own honor. It is very sad. On behalf of the entire Kraft family, I want to extend our heartfelt condolences to the Davis family, the Oakland Raiders organization, and all of the Raider fans who are mourning the loss. His presence will be missed, but his legacy will live forever. A couple of things that we need to know about the great Al Davis in these moments, things that he's accomplished, some of the big things he's done. Of course, hiring John Madden. Now, look, for those of you who've ever played video games, what's the name on the video game? Madden, okay? Set the whole program in motion. Davis and Madden were a great team. Both men had an eye for talent, the ability to handle renegade players, and the thirst for winning. The Raiders were an elite team in the 70s, and the Super Bowl XI victory over Minnesota in January 77 is probably one of the greatest moments in the team's history. Of course, then they went out and they acquired Jim Plunkett. Quarterback was one of the poster boys for the Davis factory of recycled players. Plunkett enjoyed career resurgence in Oakland, and his presence helped to pave the way for Raiders' second and third Super Bowl titles. Then drafting Marcus Allen. You know, Davis selected the running back with the number 10 overall pick in the 82 draft, quickly became a catalyst for the team, and was key to the Raiders in the third Super Bowl title. He became a face of the franchise. It's stunning that Minnesota took Stanford running back, you know, Darren Nelson, three picks ahead of a guy like Marcus Allen. Then, after a 13-year field trip playing as the L.A. Raiders, moves back to Oakland in 1995. This is where the Raiders belong, and it was the right move for Davis, certainly bring him back. Then takes the flyer and goes out and hires a John Gruden, the young offensive guru in 1998, and Gruden breathed a life into the Raiders organization that later added quarterback Rich Gannon, and the three men helped lead the Raiders to prominence once again. It all culminated in Davis' final Super Bowl appearance in January 2003, where even though the Tampa Bay Buccaneers trounced the Raiders, the team had traded Gruden in 2002. As much life as Gruden hiring brought to Oakland, his trade brought despair to the team for much of the rest of the decade. So, for those who remember, John Gruden wound up going from – I'm going to be sure I'm clear on this. Traded Gruden to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay then brings the Buccaneers back to the Super Bowl and beats the Raiders. Okay, right. And then, of course, most recently, the hiring of Hugh Jackson, the last coaching hire that he would do. And Hugh Jackson has certainly breathed the life into that Raiders team now that's running the ball and doing some great things. So it's just a few things that have gone on for Al Davis. But I just wanted to give some love to Al and some shout-out to him and their old Raiders organization. Much love to Al Davis and his family. Our condolences from all of us here at the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports go out to the family. And just know that he is an icon in all of our hearts and all of our memories, and his spirit will forever live in all of us who love the game of the National Football League, love pro football, and appreciate where we're at today and realize we could not have even come this far, been where we're at now, if it weren't for the steps that guys like Al Davis had taken. So, again, our condolences go out to the family, and hopefully some really positive things can come from what is now the legacy of Al Davis. All right, 10:21 for your morning. Fastest 60 minutes of sports as we roll on. Questions? No questions. Other questions? Something you want to say? What do you got to say?
Wake up, Leona. This decrepit Hooverville is infested with something besides idiots.
Ah, that's my reminder. 10:22. Look, y'all, check this out. 10:22 in the morning. Fastest 60 minutes of sports. Your host, Vinny Moore. Yesterday was my wife's birthday. All right. Now, I've had days where you realize your money's a little funny. You can't quite do the things you want to do, but it's somebody's birthday, so you really, really want to go all out. Well, all out really yesterday involved knowing that your funds were kind of funky because you got your responsibilities, you got bills, you got kids, you got all stuff going on. You're trying to manage your life and balance the best way you can, but you also really want to do something special for the people that you love. So as much as you can do, sometimes you just need to get out of the way and let them have their day and let them have whatever they want to do and just kind of tag along and be supportive along that. And so largely that's what I tried to do. Well, lo and behold, unfortunately, late last night while at dinner, out at a very, very nice little restaurant, we're having some good food. There's always the issue when the check comes due. So the check comes due. Now, those of us who are all around and realize, hey, look, we're all going to pony up on this thing because it's not a small check by stretch of the imagination. Except there's one party who decides that they want to delay the thing, and this, is always the case, has always irritated my wife. We know what's coming. We know what we got to do. Let's just get it done, and let's move on. The kids want to play games. We want to get into some fun things. No. No. It would have been too much like right if this could have just gone smoothly. So suffice to say, the day wasn't ruined. I wouldn't say it was definitely ruined, but it certainly had a moment of strain. At that point, there was no game playing. There was just, let's get out of here. I'm ready to call it today. I'm frustrated. I'm thinking to myself, this is not the way you want to end someone's birthday. But anyway, I don't want to harp on the negative. I want to harp on the positive. I am very, very fortunate to have some wonderful, wonderful people around me, great loved ones, a great wife, a great set of kids. Even though some of their decisions are a little squirrely, I love them to death, and I have no hindrances whatsoever telling you guys, even though I'm a sports head, I live for sports in large ways, I would be nothing without my family, and I guess I just felt like I needed to share that with all of you today. Week 5, National Football League, 10:24 in your morning. Again, this is the Fast 6 Minute Sports. I am your host, Vinny Moore, and as soon as I find the button I need to push, we'll be back in one. Talk to you in a minute. Okay, that was the weirdest thing I think I've ever done in this show or heard in this show. I just got 1 minute of nothing but music. 619-639-4747, 619-639-4747. I can safely say I've never, ever had that happen before. That was, guys, let me apologize for you, for those of you listening. Well, then it wasn't the worst thing in the world. I mean, there was no profanity in it. There was no... Yeah, it wasn't bad, but certainly it was just kind of weird. I mean, wasn't that supposed to be a pure Michigan spot? Yeah? And there's no come to the land that is pure Michigan. Yeah, that was wild. 10:26, good morning, good morning, good morning. For those of you in the various markets where you've got Sunday games, about 30 minutes away from now, 34 minutes away now from your pregame shows as they get you rock and rolling, whether it's CBS or whether it's Fox. For those of you watching tonight's Sunday night game on, I guess that's NBC. And, of course, tomorrow night's Monday night game, live from Detroit for the first time in some years, the Bears and the Lions will get it rocking and rolling. Now, you know, if you're in Detroit right now, you got to be ecstatic. You got to love it. Yeah, and to make it so bad, we actually entertained the notion of moving this show to Dearborn, Michigan, guys. Seriously, we really did. Because for whatever the reason, something positive is going on up in that market. Despite all the loss of jobs, all the economic downturn, you look up, you've got the Red Wings doing well. You've got the Tigers deep into the playoffs. You've got the Lions that are undefeated. Seriously? So what do we do as people and as fans? we rally around those teams or those organizations around us that are simply successful, and we find gleams of hopes and glimmers of possibilities in their successes. It happened, you know, if you remember what happened to us during the 9/11 situation, we migrated to the even though we did may not have liked President Bush, but we migrated to the office of the presidency. When he came out to throw that first pitch in that Washington Nationals game or that Yankee Stadium that night, we were all ecstatic. We all rallied. We all felt so patriotic. We rally in our worst of times. It seems to be sports that gives us a bit of relief from all the craziness and all the wackiness that's going on in this world. So you know what? Thank God for sports. Thank God for you. Thank God for anyone out there who aspires to do something that takes away all the negativity in this crazy little world that we live in. Back in 30 seconds, this is the fastest 60 minutes in sports.
What's your favorite summer memory?
Stopping by McDonald's for a Caesar chicken snack wrap. Tender chicken and creamy Caesar dressing. Oh, and then having a Coffee Crisp McFlurry. Oh, it's so good.
What about when we sat under the stars holding hands and you said you loved me?
That was good, too.
For a summer flavor on the go, try the Caesar Chicken Snack Wrap. Crispy or grilled for $1.89. And the new Coffee Crisp McFlurry for a limited time of participating McDonald's in Atlantic Canada.
It's the Subway Steak and Cheese Sub. Hearty Italian bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on hearty Italian bread, but now with a bit of onion on it, sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steaky cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting to panic here. So only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos. Sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food, made the way you want it. We've got a sub for that.
All right, back on the Fastest 60 Minutes of Sports. I'm your host, Vinny Moore. Check this out, guys. And you know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't love you. We have not really got into fantasy love for all you kind of fantasy heads watching, trying to figure out exactly which way to go with the stardoms and sit-ems for this week. And so at 10:29 on your Sunday morning, Week 5 National Football League, I guess we can get into this now, guys. I mean, obviously, it's where you want to go. But because easily we've got a bunch of stuff from our friends at ESPN with the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, which are here today. Again, nice to see those guys back. Of course, they're still not as good as our Vin Picks 2011, which are still rocking on. Rough time, though, last week. Real rough time in terms of picking games last week. You know, it just seemed like people were finding ways to lose. Did you watch the Lions and the Cowboys game? How do you lose that? 27-3, and you find a way to lose? Ugh, that's got a bite. Well, anyway, we're going to give you some love hate for week five in your fantasy squads here in just a few seconds. You know, I'm still kind of reeling from the idea or the notion that Minnesota Vikings have not won a game this year. Still reeling from the fact that Buffalo lost to Cincinnati. I don't know how that happens. You just kind of scratch your head and go, well, I guess that's why they play the game. But, you know, at a simpler time in the league when people could simply run the football, you just didn't see it. If you got down, it was really kind of hard to climb back up. But anyway, all right, fantasy heads, 10:30, let's rock and roll. Let's get you ready to rock. Who to start, who to sit for all your favorite positions. That's quarterback, running back, wide receivers, tight ends, kickers, and defensive squads. So right at the top, your quarterback. We give you the top 10 every single week. So if you've got them on your squad, be sure you start them this week. Number 10 this week is Eli Manning of the Giants. Number 9, Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. Number 8, Ryan Fitz, the Harvard guy starting in Buffalo, going against that Eagles team that may be really overrated now. Number 6 is Cam Newton. Carolina going up a New Orleans defense that's overly aggressive and can be exposed. Number 6, wait a minute, timeout. How'd that happen? Okay, there we go. Anyway, number 6, Phillip Rivers, the San Diego Chargers quarterback going up against Denver. Everyone does it against Denver. Number 5, Drew Brees going up against Carolina. I guess if Jay Cutler can do it, why can't Drew Brees? Number 4, Michael Vick. He goes up against a Buffalo secondary that is questionable. However, that front four does play pretty well, but Vic is mobile, so he's number 4 this week. Number 3, Matthew Stafford, Detroit gets Chicago. Why? Because let's face it, you got Megatron, you got points. Number 2, Tom Brady goes up against the Jet squad, but that's Tom Brady, and that's why. Number 1, Aaron Rodgers, because the bottom line is he just doesn't miss. He just doesn't miss. And on every prognostication table across the board, Aaron Rodgers, number 1 across the board. So if you got him, you start him. If you don't have Rodgers, Brady, Stafford, Vic, Brees, Rivers, Newton, Fitzpatrick, Ryan, or Manning, Matt Schaub's not a bad option. Okay. If you got Schaub somewhere down there, you get, start getting down there, Sanchez, Freeman, Hasselbeck out there. Okay. Cutler, if you're a Bears knucklehead like I used to be, you'd go 17, but no, that's not going to happen. So that's your quarterback love for Week 5 National Football League. Let's move on to the running backs. This is where we'd have a segue with some silly kind of sound in it, but something, yeah, I'm not sure why we don't, but for whatever reason, we should have some kind of silly sound, you know, something. Yeah, I don't.
Aw, crap.
Okay, that'll work. All right. To the running backs. This is like, excuse me, like a da-da-do-that. All right, anyway. Number 10, Michael Turner out of the Atlanta organization going up against Green Bay. Number 9, Ryan Matthews, San Diego against Denver, of course. Number 8, Maurice Jones-Drew. Number 7, Matt Forte, because the Lions have a rough time stopping the run. Number 6, Chris Johnson, Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Not sure about that one. I got a feeling that Pittsburgh's going to show up today. Number 5, LeSean McCoy going up against Buffalo. Number 4, Fred Jackson, Buffalo. Against Philadelphia, if you've got Freddie Jackson, you're going to stop. You're going to start in the day because the bottom line is Philadelphia cannot stop the run. Number 3, Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson is always in the top 10. Why? Because he's Adrian Peterson, and they go up against the Cardinals today. Number 2, Darren McFadden. Got to love the matchup because Houston cannot stop the run. They're good against. They got a good pass rush, but they're overly aggressive and have a rough time stopping the run. But number 1, this time around, Arian Foster. That's right. All but one prognosticator has Arian Foster, the number one starting back this week. There's your love. There you go for your running backs. All right, we got to move on. Okay, so nothing fun, no stupid little nothing? Seriously? I got nothing.
Victory is mine.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Victory is mine. You know, one of these days we're going to do this. And this is all going to be, like, laid out so it does it automatically. Hint, hint, hint. Okay. Wide receivers this week. Number 10, DeSean Jackson. Philadelphia gets Buffalo. Number 9, Mike Wallace out of Pittsburgh. Number 8, Roddy White. Number 7, Vincent Jackson, the Chargers. Again, everyone does well against Denver. Number 6, Hakeem Nicks, the Giants against Seattle. Number 5, Fitzgerald. That's Larry himself going up against the Vikes. Always has good games against Minnesota. Number 4, Steve Smith, Carolina Steve Smith, gets the Saints secondary. Number 3, Wes Welker, and that is right where it should be because Wes should have an absolute field day in that soft zone area of the defense of the Jets. Number 2, Greg Jennings. Again, he's got Aaron Rodgers thrown to him. But number 1, and as if you had to really guess, Megatron himself, Calvin Johnson, because the bottom line, when you're 6'5", 225 pounds, that can leap out of the building, and the Bears' best corner is 6'1", and with bad knees and bad shoulders, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I don't know exactly. I see Cockcroft actually had Calvin number 3, but I'm not sure why, only because I guess he thought Wes Welker was going to clown. But you've got Calvin Johnson, and Megatron, I hate to say it as a Bears fan, may have an absolute huge day unless the Bears' front four can get to Matthew Stafford. So that's your wide receiver love for Week 5 National Football League. Where are we going? We got defensive teams to talk about. What just happened? We went dead.
And now, you contemptible harpy, I shall end your oppressive reign of matriarchal tyranny.
Wow. That was different. All right, let's go to your tight ends. Number 10, Kellen Winslow. Number 9, Brandon Pettigrew. He gets Chicago. Soft zone. Number 7, Greg Olsen, Carolina. Greg Olsen was number 8. Number 7, Dustin Keller out of the Jets. Number 6, Tony Gonzalez out of Atlanta. Number 5, Owen Daniels. Number 4, Vernon Davis out of the 49ers. Number 3, Rob Gronkowski. Get Gronkowski if you can get him. It's amazing to me that he's still available on quite a few of your leagues. Number 2, Jermichael Finley. Yeah, okay, good. If you got him, start him. If you don't have him, just hope you're not playing against him today because he could have an absolute field day against Atlanta. And number 1, Jimmy Graham, the New Orleans Saints. They get Carolina today. And let's face it, Jimmy Graham's become Breeze's one of his favorite targets. A big kid. It's nice to see him. And what would be arguably his first full season of getting a lot of run there. So that's it for your tight ends. Let's move over to your kickers. For those of you that really have some kicking woes, I don't know if that's your case. But for the sake of killing a couple of seconds of your lives, let's give you the top 10 kickers this week. Number 10, David Akers. Number 9, Rob Baronis. Number 8, Robbie Gold of the Bears. Mike Nugent of the Bengals. Wow. Number six, Steven Gostkowski of the Patriots. Then Sebastian Janikowski of the Raiders. Number four, Mason Crosby out of Green Bay. Number three, John Casey going up against Carolina, kicking for New Orleans. Jason Hansen, number two, against the Bears. And number one this week, Neil Rackers, the Houston Texans kicker, going up against Oakland. There are those of you out there who really feel like Jason Hansen, because he's going up against the Bears and because the Lions can move the ball, that is going to be the lick. And I really can't argue with you on that one, as much as it may pain my tuchus to say that. That is maybe a harsh reality. And again, for what it's worth, I hope the Bears crush the Lions. But it's really, really hard to see right now. All right, let's break it down. Top 10 defenses. For those of you worried about your defenses this week, I'm going to tell you right now, be very, very careful how you play this. But number 10 this week, the San Diego Chargers. Number 9, the New York Jets. Number 8, the New Orleans Saints. Number 7, the Cincinnati Bengals D, which is much, much improved, and they're climbing a lot of ladders in a hurry. Number 6, the San Francisco 49ers, who've proven that they can simply play when they want to play. Number 5, the Houston Texans. Number 4, the New York Giants. Number 3, the Tennessee Titans. Number 2, the Green Bay Packers. I'm not sure about that one because I think Matt Ryan and Roddy White might have something to say about that. And number 1 this week shocks me. They've got the Detroit Lions defense up against the Chicago Bears O, and that is their number 1 pick for defensive starts this week. Guys, I know last week was a nice game for the Detroit defense against the Dallas Cowboy team that couldn't get out of its own way, but I think you're going to get a heavy dose of Matt Forte and Marion Barber running the ball, and the Bears may not put themselves in those situations. Again, if the Bears get up on Detroit, you know, 7 points, 10 points, 14 points, besides the fact that Calvin Johnson is Calvin Johnson and he'll be looking at double and triple coverage, it's going to take a lot more. I don't expect the Lions to be able to just come back the way they've done so far, not against that defense in Chicago. Lovie's bend don't break defense gets really, really stingy, even with a Megatron, when you get into that red zone. But again, he's Calvin Johnson, and he is right now, with Andre Johnson being hurt, he is definitely the best wide receiver in the game today. So that's it for your fantasy love. 10:39 for your morning. What's that put me at? I got six to kill. Thank you. Six to kill, and we'll be rocking and rolling. All right, we've done this the last couple of weeks. I'm going to do it for you again. For those of you that didn't catch this some time ago, it is something we get from our friends at Showtime Inside the NFL. So I'll let James Brown and Warren Sapp bring it to you. It's called You Play to Win the Game, featuring Herm Edwards and our friends over at Showtime. Check this one out, y'all.
You know, but as a series of popular beer commercials ably demonstrates, not every head coach basks in the goodwill after the game. Courtesy of YouTube sensation DJ Steve Porter, here's our spin on
You Play to Win the Game.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. Stay retired. Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. We sucked.
You play to win the game.
That's pitiful.
You don't play to just play it.
To perform like that.
You don't play to win.
Okay.
You start telling me
we suck.
It doesn't matter. Stay retired.
You kidding me?
Playoffs?
Okay.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Right now, that person is not sold out to be hard as it is.
play to win the game.
Cannot win with them.
Playoffs? Hello?
Cannot coach with them.
That is so much crap.
Can't do it.
You play to win.
You don't know what we're trying to do. You guys don't look at the films. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you never will.
I'm getting on the damn heat with everybody, each and every one of y'all, hammering my tail. I don't coach that way. I don't coach them to do that type of thing.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
I don't coach that way.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
Zero. I don't really care. I gotta tell you the truth.
I know I'm smarter than that.
You play to win the game.
Playoffs?
You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. When you start helping me, it doesn't matter. Then the top. Get out.
Yesterday's yesterday. Today's today. Tomorrow will be tomorrow.
Playoffs?
Thanks, Coach.
Well, only fitting, Phil, that we go to our own pop icon, pop star, Warren. Warren, that was a nice job done.
Mr. Porter did an excellent job because there's not too many ways you can make an NFL coach seem interesting.
Such is the case. Thank you, guys. Appreciate all that. 16 before we shut it down. As is always the case, when we get them, we want to share them with you. Our buddies over at Mike and Mike in the Morning, ESPN Radio, have shared with us the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks again for Week 5 National Football League. And right after that, Week 5 Vin Picks come your way. So let's rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, here are Week 5 Stone Cold Lead Pipe, courtesy of ESPN Radio and Mike in the Morning.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. ESPN Radio exclusive.
Mike Nolik, here we go for Week 5, and my motto this week is, if not now, when?
What happened then?
Huh?
When?
Just now.
Wear it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
No.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
The Indianapolis Colts are not going to go 0-16.
Are you serious?
That's what everyone always says. They always say teams not going to go 0-16. Well, if you're not going to beat Kansas City at home, who are you going to beat?
Friedlander. Harris J. Friedlander.
I like the Colts, regardless of who the quarterback is or isn't.
I love that. Something that speaks to our female demographic. It's very good. It's very aggressive.
They're going to get themselves a win. They're going to get off the schneid, and they're going to cover the two. Give me Indy minus a deuce at home against the Chiefs.
Wow.
Did that go the way you thought it was going to go?
Nope.
I'm going to go to Houston with the Texans are hosting the Oakland Raiders.
What the hell's going on out here?
I'm sorry. I was an idiot, okay? It was a moment of weakness, and it'll never happen again. Can you forgive me?
I know you love when I do that. And the Houston Texans are going to be without Andre Johnson, the best receiver in the league.
Johnson. Yes, sir.
If he were to mail a letter without postage, it would still get there.
That's going to hurt. It's going to be a ground and pound game for both teams. Oakland's getting sick. They may not win, but they will cover that without a doubt. It's a close one.
Oh, yes. I remember now. Missed it by that much.
And finally, I'm not giving up on the Eagles, Mike. The city of Philadelphia may be ready to give up.
You are a laughingstock. You are a joke. These people are laughing at you. I quit.
The entire NFL might be ready to give up.
I give up.
But I'm not ready to give up on the Birds. And you know what else?
What?
Buffalo's overrated.
Okay.
One miracle comeback against New England does not a season make.
The kick is good, and the Bills have defeated the New England Patriots.
The Eagles are going up to Northern New York, and they're going to get their season back on track.
All aboard.
Michael Vick will get it going. That defense will put something together, and the Eagles are going to win, and they're going to cover. Give me the Eagles minus three at Buffalo. I think they win it big.
Oh, man. You just got to be so superior to everyone else.
Ah, you're doing it because you picked them to make it to the Super Bowl. It's the only reason you're doing it.
This is your last warning. Heed my word.
Philadelphia's going to go to Buffalo. It's not happening. Buffalo is a good football team. They can run it, and Philly can't stop the run.
I don't teach them to devise, Archon.
Buffalo's at home getting three? I'll take that three, and I'll say Buffalo wins the game outright.
Let them fight to the finish, and I will take the winner.
And those E-Wing 5 don't go. Box.
Nothing but a pack of weird rituals and chants designed to take away the money of fools.
Mike and Mike and the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks brought to you by Peak Motor Oil. You're not just changing your oil, you're saving gas. Put Peak Motor Oil in, save on gas. Visit peakauto.com for details. Recapping, I've got Indy minus two at home against Kansas City. Golick has Oakland taking the six over Houston. And we go head-to-head Philadelphia-Buffalo. I'm giving three with the Eagles on the road. Golick is taking the points. Joaquin, a great job as always on Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. Craig Possible.
O'Brien.
What's that?
His name is O'Brien. Craig O'Brien.
Why did you say Craig Possible?
And it's a joke.
Oh, because he goes out with Kim Possible.
Kim Possible.
Okay. So we've attached her nickname to him.
Yes.
At this point.
Pretty
okay,
much.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Craig Possible on the TV side. Nice job with the locks. I'm 2-6 on the season.
You stink.
I'm in mid-season form. Yeah. Golic is 3-3-2. Let me just quickly on one of those, and we'll pick some of the other games against the spread in a few minutes. You serious? You think Buffalo wins this game? I mean, I just heard you say it in the
Stone
Cold
Lead Pipe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm hedging on that. I think it could be a close game. They're getting points. So that's why
not
I'm
a lot of
there.
Points.
No, not enough. You only got to win by
so
one.
So you think
last
Philly's dead? If Philly goes 1-4, Mike, they're
dead. In a lot of trouble. Yes,
they're
in a lot of trouble.
Do you really think it's going to go that bad? I mean, I just can't believe it's going to go that bad.
Yeah. Well, what do you want me to tell you? They don't look good right now.
I'm not saying they do, but they are good. I mean, they just have too many good players not to figure this out.
Well, sir, they're 1-3.
They are.
You know, as Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are.
I know.
And at this point, they're playing like a 1-3 team. Do they have the ability to play better? Absolutely they
playing
do.
Playing like a 1-3. I mean, you know, they were killing San Francisco in the third quarter.
They
I
win
mean,
or lose.
No, they lost. All I right. understand that, but it's not like they got blown out.
I don't care.
They miss a couple of makeable field goals. Otherwise, they win that game.
But they didn't. This life isn't woulda, coulda, shoulda. Okay? It's reality. I'm a reality person.
No,
okay?
I get you, but I've seen a lot of 1-3 teams in the NFL this year. The Eagles don't look like them.
Well, they've got the moniker now of being the best 1-3 team in the league.
Okay.
Congratulations to them.
So you think they're going to go to 1-4?
I think there's a good chance. Am I stone cold locking it? No. Well, of course I am. That's
yes, you did. You stone cold lead pipe locked.
I did.
Now, we record those earlier in the week, but the line is still 3. I just was handed today's numbers, and I still have Philadelphia -3 at Buffalo. So that line has held there.
I worry about them. And Buffalo at home, they're playing well. Even if Philadelphia gets a lead, we've seen Buffalo come back. This would be a tough loss. Listen, is it going to shock me if they win? Absolutely not. It's not going to shock me if Philadelphia wins. But I'm going with my pick.
It's a week to start Fred Jackson. If he is on your fantasy team,
yep.
Which he is on mine, I'll tell you that, the way the Eagles have been not stopping the run. New Orleans at Carolina, Mike. The Saints giving 6.5 points. Drew Brees against the youngster Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, listen, putting up a lot of yards, but they don't have a lot of wins. And New Orleans, we know, can put up a lot of points. So I like New Orleans in this one on the road. Their defense is starting to create some turnovers again. So I like that. Cam will be susceptible to that, especially if they're behind and he has to throw the ball more. He may get a lot of yards again, but if he has a few turnovers in there, it could prove costly. Still just doesn't have enough around him. He's really been good so far. They need more around him still, and New Orleans is rolling right now. So I think New Orleans covers this one.
I don't know. I don't think so. And on the road, you know, in a place where I don't think New Orleans' high-flying offense will be as good, I think Carolina will get theirs. I think Cam puts up big numbers in this game. And
no,
I think
the
they play this
big
real
numbers
close.
And big points. That's
right.
What you need.
I don't know that they're going to win. I'm not picking them to win the game, but I think 6.5 is too many.
Okay.
I would take Carolina with the points. How about Tennessee and Pittsburgh? The Steelers giving 3 at home. Roethlisberger will play. We know about the problems on the offensive line. We know about some of the defensive injuries in Pittsburgh. We know the fractured orbital bone, which, once again, sounds like the most excruciating injury I can even fathom. For James Harrison, and Tennessee is playing great, but the Steelers are giving 3 at home.
Yeah, they are giving 3. That's a tough one. You know, there's part of me that I have Pittsburgh making it to the Super Bowl, so it's like part of me says I need them to win this one and get going a little bit, but Tennessee is playing well. Their whole line is so good. We had their head coach, Mike Munchak, on yesterday. Pittsburgh's got to get it together at some point if they're going to make that run. That's why I was kind of leaning toward them to try and get it back right now. It doesn't seem smart to say with Harrison now out and that defense getting run on some, but I'm gonna take a lean toward Pittsburgh, and a lot of that is because of where I have them getting to at the end of the year.
Mike and Mike, real deal NFL picks. Jets and Patriots, Mike. Patriots giving 9 points at home.
Wow, that is a lot of points. Brady, we know, can put up a lot of points. I don't know if the Jets can. Now, I think the Jets maybe can control the ball and keep Tom off the field by running because of New England's defense right now. I just think it's too big of a number for this. Jets beat them twice last year. I don't know if the Jets are going to win this one, Greeny, but 9 points is a lot. While New England doesn't say publicly, they say last year was last year. We don't really worry about that. You know them. They harbor things a little bit, and I think they'd love to take advantage of the Jets here. But 9's just too big a number for me.
All right. Now, even the Jets' bravado doesn't sound so brave. Antonio Cromartie only sounds half-hearted in talking about how much he hates Tom Brady. And then finally, Green Bay at Atlanta. Mike, to me, this is a big game for the Falcons.
Yeah,
they've got something to prove. They're talking tough for them. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers talked about how he feels they disrespected last year.
Roddy White said after the Green Bay win that he thought Roddy White thought his team was still the better team and it was kind of a flukish win for Green Bay.
Obviously, he didn't see the game.
Yeah.
What Aaron Rodgers did to the Falcons' defense in that game is like a crime in 9 states.
And he may do it again. Right now, Atlanta's not there. Maybe they'll get there. Right now, this is another one I'd love to lean toward Atlanta because they're my other team coming out. They're my team coming out of the NFC for the Super Bowl, but it's not going well for them right now. Green Bay is absolutely clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, I love the Packers in this game. Mike, and some more. And then this, Mike, and you have ruined more than a few people's week here. Cindy, poor Cindy.
What?
In Indiana,
poor
right? Poor Cindy. Right, thanks a lot, guys. I didn't sleep at all last night.
Oh.
Due to the nightmares I was having, thinking about Golic lounging around naked on his couch.
Oh.
Nightmares. Why do you say ooh with that little like?
Because does she really mean nightmares or fantasies? Is she just blocking her thought there and just saying that?
Are you just delusional?
Yeah.
Or are you out of your mind?
What?
I mean, I think you're out of your mind. I think
you don't think there's a little fantasizing going on.
No, I think if there's a little, it's very little.
Yeah.
I think that Cindy is speaking on behalf of almost everyone in America when they say put some clothes on when you're sitting on a couch.
Quite honestly, my wife threw up a little bit in her mouth.
A couch is a public place.
No, it's
I understand
not.
Your
why
home.
You keep saying it's my home.
But when people come to your home,
okay,
your bedroom is a private place. A couch, which I'm assuming is in your living room. Most people don't have a couch in their bedroom. Maybe some do, but I don't. A couch is in the family room or the living room,
right,
where when you have people over and they watch TV, watch a football game or a baseball game, other people sit on that couch.
My wife wipes down the leather. Not a problem.
Is it really leather, by the way?
Yeah.
I haven't been to the house
in
a while.
What, is it vile?
I don't know what it is. They can be any number of different things. They make couches out of a variety
of
different...
It's leather. I think that's the route my wife went. I wasn't there when we were shopping.
Actually,
I was.
Could it be pleather? Is that possible?
You know what it is? Comfortable on the naked butt.
You know what I really hope it is? I really hope it's clean. I'll say that right now. I can say where I'm not going to watch football this weekend. Thank goodness we have a hard out. Mike and
Oh, my God. 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 They're just, great stuff, guys. Thanks a lot so much for friends over at Mike in the Morning, ESPN Radio. That was great. That was good radio right there. But most of you hung out for this length of time for one thing and one thing only, the Week 5 2011 VIN Picks. For those of you on the bubble, it's been a rough go, but here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Next 7 minutes all belong to Week 5 of the VIN Picks. We did this one raw, y'all. Check it out. Week 5 of the National Football League VIN Picks. Here we go once again. All right, check this out. A rough week last week, but not of my own volition. I tell you not. I tried to shake it off, but a few long shots just went awry. The Oakland Raiders were no match for the New England Patriots, along with the Dallas Cowboys blowing another fourth-quarter lead due to the irresponsible arm of quarterback Tony Romo. The Minnesota Vikings unable to win a game so far in 2011, as well as the previously undefeated Buffalo Bills finding out how to lose to the lowly Cincinnati Bengals. The possibility of another solid week went right down the freaking tube. That's all right. We're going to get it back on track this week. I'm not even going to give you point spreads. I'm just going to give it to you straight because I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. This week, Texans will beat the Raiders. Houston seems to be one of the more well-rounded teams in the league. But when you take a closer look at the teams they've beaten, perhaps they might not be as good as people think. The loss of wide receiver Andre Johnson shouldn't keep them from beating Oakland, but it might hurt them when they come to Baltimore the following week. The Steelers will beat the Titans. While I'd like to jump on the Tennessee bandwagon and see Pittsburgh get punked in their own crib, that would just be the perfect storm and therefore is the exact reason I expect Big Ben to pull one out of God knows how many. You know, he'll find a way out of his you-know-what and prove the Steelers are far from Baltimore's rearview mirror just yet. Anyway, the New Orleans Saints will take care of the Carolina Panthers on the road in Carolina. No one had any idea how good Carolina's Cam Newton was going to be. And while his team is not going anywhere as well as himself, don't expect that to change against a well-oiled defensive machine like the New Orleans Saints. And that will give Newton a great chance to watch and learn from a guy like Drew Brees firsthand. Cam will put up numbers, but the Saints will take care of the game. Here's one for you. The Indianapolis Colts will beat the Kansas City Chiefs unless one of these teams bags the game and for the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. Just got a bit closer as Indianapolis is much better
with Curtis Painter than they were with Grandpa, you know, Kerry Collins. They're playing in Kansas City. Was only able to beat a really bad Vikings team at home, a one-win Kansas team, but Indianapolis should take care of business. The Buffalo Bills, here you go, y'all, will beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Ooh, can Philadelphia really start the 2011 season at 1-4, while Buffalo would go to 4-1, and what qualifies as one of the two upset specials of the week? What's wrong with this picture? Absolutely nothing, as this proves that all is right in the world when the smallest market team with a Harvard-led quarterback can beat the big market team, better known as the Dream Team, with a previously incarcerated, not relevant, and panic-stricken backup set of quarterbacks. Buffalo beats Philadelphia. The Giants will take care of the Seahawks. No way a bad team from the West Coast can come to the East Coast and beat a good team. As New York quarterback Eli Manning is proving, there's still a good Manning quarterback playing in the 2011 season. And Seattle is beginning to realize that perhaps Matt Hasselbeck still had a little bit left in the tank. No love for Tavares Jackson. Moving on. The Bengals will beat the Jaguars. Cincinnati continues to prove they might be one of the surprise teams in the league as their defense keeps shutting opponents down and their rookie quarterback is doing just enough to manage the game. While over in Jacksonville, their rookie quarterback that just doesn't seem to have enough to do the same thing. Surprisingly, according to oddsmakers, this game is also considered an upset special. The Vikings will beat the Cardinals. If Minnesota is going to win at least one game at some point, this seems to be the perfect time. Of course, the fact that my two fantasy quarterbacks are Arizona's Kevin Cobb and the Vikings' Adam Matt will probably mean that whoever I start, the other guy will probably win. Oh, it's just so bad. Vikings will beat the Cardinals. 49ers over the Buccaneers. This will be a pretty decent game with two young but up-and-coming teams fighting to prove they deserve to be in the playoff races in their respective divisions. Since the game is in San Francisco, I'm going with the home team. But if it was in Tampa, I would be picking the Buccaneers. It is that close. Plus, I think there is a Harbaugh factor here. The Patriots will beat the Jets. Sorry, New York fans. Love you to death. But the Patriots will beat your boys. Perhaps, just perhaps, if this game were in New Jersey, the Jets might have a chance at least to make this respectable. But since it is not, I can't see New England screwing this one up. New England is going to put a hurting on the New York Jets. While there's no comparison between the Pats and defense and anyone else, there's also no comparison between the Pats and the New York Jets quarterback. So, can't see a huge difference in the outcome, with only similarities being the Jets on the losing end of the score in a worst possible way. This could get ugly. I mean, it's a 9-point spread, but guys, really, Patriots, this could get ugly in a hurry. The Chargers will beat the Broncos. Well, kind of duh. The only cheers you will hear in Denver will be the ones for Tim Tebow. If he ends up getting a chance to prove that he can't make the Broncos any worse than they already are. Meanwhile, San Diego has started on the right track for a change, even though the competition they've been beating up is pretty weak. And besides, Denver is one of those weak guys. So there you go. The Packers will go to Atlanta and beat the Falcons. This is the Sunday night game. This should be a matchup of two Super Bowl contenders, but Atlanta has just not held up their end of their promotion. Looking rather average so far in 2011, on the other hand, there is the team that just can't seem to do anything wrong or be derailed, and that's Green Bay, on another path to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has having the season of his life, and he's making it look easy. He has not had a bad game this season. Any game has he ever played with a quarterback rating below 100. And the Monday Night Special. Now, this is where, you know, me and all the punk heads and prognosticators are always going to differ, because you know I'm a Bears head. We already know this. Oh, my God. Will Detroit continue their magical season and keep pace with the Packers as the only two remaining undefeated teams in the NFL? Well, prognosticators say yes. But I come here to tell you today, I say no. No! Lovie Smith finds a way to get his guys to play. Now, I don't think it's going to be one side or the other. I don't think the line's going to blow the Bears out. I don't think the Bears are going to blow. This is going to be a really tight game. They're going to tighten them up, and they're going to go slobber knocker. If the Bears get up on the Lions, they will not be the Minnesota Vikings. They will not be the Dallas Cowboys. The Lions will not come back. That said, if the Bears are down, it's over. That team is not built to come back. It is not. So how's it all end up? Here you go. I hope you're sitting down. Chicago Bears, 21. Detroit Lions, 17. And an absolute Donnybrook. Absolute Donnybrook. And I'll even caveat this for my friends in Detroit. I could be wrong, but not all. And that's your Week 5 NFL Ben Picks. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Peace! And that's going to do it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Week 5, National Football League. For those of you going to your local affiliates, Fox and CBS will have your early games. For those of you following Red Zone, well, if you've got NFL Network, if you've got the dish or otherwise, check those out, all your updates and all your scores. Major League Baseball gets started in a couple of hours with the Cardinals and Brewers. Check it all out. This has been the fastest 60 minutes of sports. I'm overdue. I'm out of time, and I love you, and I'll see you next week only on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Peace.